So Jason. good singing, good songs, things that bless your heart. Hope you've been encouraged by coming to church here tonight and hearing the singing, and then even taking part in the singing is a good thing to do. All right, well, we're going to take a look at Moses here tonight in Hebrews chapter 11. We've been looking at all these people who, by faith, believed in something that they could not see. Something that was down the road all the time, it seemed. And yet they still believed in the word of God and the promises of God and took him at his word. And by faith, they did these things. And in verse 23 was where we want to pick up tonight. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Moses, by faith, took God at his word. First thing we see in verse 23 is not so much the faith of Moses, but the faith of Moses' parents. All right? By faith, Moses' parents, even though I know it says by faith Moses, but it says when he was born was hid 3 months of his parents. And because they saw, they were not afraid. They did some things here. And in Numbers chapter 26, verse 59, we learn their names, Amram and Jochebed. Those are two good, what's the game when you have to give answers to?
Trivia
question. There you go. Bible trivia. Yep. There it is. Who were parents of Moses? Amram and Jochebed. I'm not suggesting you name your children any of those names, but wow, they become precious to you when you think about Moses' parents. They believed their child was from God. Go to Acts chapter 7, where Stephen, when he's preaching that great message that he preached just before, the people stoned him to death, but it was a great message because he was telling the children of Israel about their stiff-neckedness and why they just would not take God at his word. And he talks about Moses here in chapter 7 down to verse 20, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair. All right. And I have in my notes here, fair to God, in reference to God. And it says in verse 20, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. It's interesting how God just puts details in the word of God. You know, he could have just passed over Moses' parents and not mentioned them at all and talk about their faith at all. But he did. And I tell you what, if you're a parent of a child, what a great responsibility God has given you to raise those children for the honor and glory of the Lord. And I don't know that there's anyone here who's had children who wouldn't say that their child was the best and the most proper and the wonderful child. And they certainly are just that. But parents, you've got to take God at his word. And he says, you train them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart. And you just need to believe that. By faith, do the disciplining that's necessary and the training that's necessary that those children will grow up and serve the Lord. They believed their child was from God. Acts chapter 7, verse 20. They were not afraid either of the Pharaoh's commandment. More and more as we continue down the road in the end times here, we hear commandments being put forth by government, by a Supreme Court in our own land here. And they keep wanting to tell us Christians what we got to do.
You know, there comes a time when we're going to have to say we have to obey God rather than man. And we're going to have to not fear the king's commandments. And boy, they are putting them down there, right and left. Almost every week, something else falls by the wayside as far as what is the right thing to be doing in our country. But they were not afraid of Pharaoh's commandment. Now, Pharaoh was the leader of the land. The people of the land considered him to be godlike. And so when his commandments come down, they all obeyed. But Moses' parents were not afraid of the Pharaoh's commandments. And two very insignificant people in our chapter had great faith. You might think of yourself maybe as insignificant. But how is your faith? I hope it's great. I hope it's all in the Lord's word and the promises that he has made. And it doesn't matter how insignificant you might think. God pays attention to that. And I believe he will reward Amram and Jochebed greatly someday for the great stand of faith that they took back in the days of Moses being born and the Pharaoh's commandments. Interesting too, looking at that verse 23, by faith, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. It's hard to hide a baby, a newborn baby, because what do they do a lot? They cry. They cry a lot. Can you imagine the difficulty it must have been for Amram and Jochebed to do this, which they by faith did, to hide that child for 3 months until they finally could no longer hide the child, and they did what they had to do. Go with me to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Two insignificant people. I say insignificant only to press the point. I don't believe they were insignificant with God, that's for sure. But Exodus chapter 2. The Pharaoh in chapter 1 had decreed that all the boy babies had to be cast into the river, but saved the girl babies alive. Verse 1 of chapter 2, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. If you have any center column references, it probably tells you Numbers 26, 29, where their names are given. But verse 2, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. You know, there's a lot of arks in the Bible. And this is one of them, which is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even our own Savior came into the world in a difficult situation as well. Born in a manger, laid in a manger, I should say. And the Lord took care of him. And here's this little baby, his name Moses. There he lies in that ark and drifting off into the water. And his sister standing nearby to see what would happen. Verse 5, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe, what does it say? Wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? Oh, how God would reward the great faith of Amram and Jochebed. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. Moses means drawn out. But I believe God drew him out. God was watching here at that river's bank as well, or the brink of the river, as well as Miriam. And as they pushed him out into that river and just by faith said, okay, God, you're going to have to take care of him. And God took care of him, even giving him back to his very mother. And even having the mother being paid to take care of her own child. I mean, God does even above and beyond what we ask or think, you know. Exceedingly above. His grace is not only sufficient, it's overabounding. It's overflowing. And can you just imagine when Jochebed brought Moses back home and talked to her husband Amram. Guess who I have? We have our baby back. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a marvelous thing that God can do? And God did it because of their faith. And a baby's cry changed a nation. Yeah, took the lid off of that. And what does Moses do? It's just a baby, he doesn't know. He weeps, cries, and touches Pharaoh's daughter's heart. And she takes him to be her own child. Now there were other babies thrown into that river who didn't survive. But Moses did. And that's all by God's grace. And it all based upon the faith of his parents. Saw that he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. What if they were afraid of the king's commandment? They probably would have done what many of the other Hebrew women did. And just cast their son into the river, just having no faith in God to take care. Wow. What faith. We're called upon to do the same thing. To have faith in some things that we can't even see. And we may not even understand. Yet we're told to believe them in the Word of God. We talked about the rapture this morning. That's a difficult thing to understand, isn't it? Do you understand? Can you figure out how it is? How about even the physics of it all? You know, gravity would say we're going to be stuck down here. There's not going to be any gravity in the rapture. It's going to lose its hold on us. And up we go. But I don't understand all those things, but I believe it. I'm looking forward to it. And by faith, I'm doing that. And then verse 25, choosing rather, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now we see Moses' faith. He gave up his high position in Egypt. He did not want to be called Egyptian. Nope. Look at that. He says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He did not want to be called an Egyptian. We should not want to be called worldly either. You know that? This world is not my home. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I'm not a part of this world anymore. Oh, I know I'm still here. But you know what? This world no longer satisfies. And that should be the same for you. I hope that those of you who have been saved for a longer period of time would agree with me today. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Anything, even silver and gold. We're going to see that here even in Moses' time. He would not want to be called an Egyptian. Go back to that Acts chapter 7, Stephen's message. Acts chapter 7. And verse 23. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Here's something else. Let me back up a little bit with Moses' parents. And in reference to this, I believe that Moses was, and Joshua and Rachel in the nursery, listen up. I believe he was homeschooled. He was homeschooled. His parents taught him who he was and how important who he was is. Even better than the Egyptian world that he would enter into when he would be delivered up to Pharaoh's daughter and raised up in Pharaoh's household. Don't forget your heritage. Don't forget where you came from. Christian, you're in this world. You have to live in this world. But I want you, don't forget how the Lord saved you and brought you out. Keep it in your mind. And don't give it up. And don't give up your Christianity. I'm not saying you can give up your salvation. You can't. But you know, some can give up their testimony and their witness. Don't give it up for the things of this world. I'd rather be called a Christian than to be called a worldly person. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Peter calls us strangers and pilgrims. And that's how we need to see ourselves in this world. Moses, as it says there in verse 23, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children. How do you know that? I believe his parents taught him. And it came into his heart at 40 years of age. And then, of course, you know what happened. He tried to get the people to realize that he could lead them. He could help them out. And it didn't work out. And he had to flee after he killed one of the Egyptian soldiers, if you remember. And then he was 40 years in the backside of the desert. Until he had the event of the burning bush. And God said, Moses, you're going to lead my people out of Egypt. And then he goes down there. And then 40 more years of wandering in the wilderness. 40, 40, 40. You think that is just by chance, or is God working here in Moses' life? God's working in his parents' life. He's working in Moses' own personal life. And he gave up his high position in Egypt. He did not want to be called an Egyptian. He did not consider the pleasures of sin equal to or better than suffering with God's people. He said, now I could just sit here in Pharaoh's house and just enjoy all the pleasures there are. Or I can take my place and suffer with the children of Israel. Wow. Well, what do you think about that? I would hope that you are of the spiritual nature to pick the same thing that Moses did. Suffer with the children of God. He considered the riches of Egypt as worthless compared to the reward of God. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. You all know this passage, I'm sure. Or at least when you get there, you'll remember it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Something that we ought to take to heart here. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Look at that. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now Moses could see everything there in Pharaoh's house. Oh, look at this. I'm going to give this up to suffer with the children of Israel. By faith he did. And we're called upon to do the same thing. And verse 18 continues, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're just here for a certain amount of time. But the things which are not seen, which we by faith are told to reach out and look for and serve for, are eternal. Eternal. Do you know you're coming here to church tonight, attending the service, is going to go down in eternity as something that the Lord's going to reward? Isn't that something? You could have stayed home and watched the football games or whatever. Those things are just temporal. They only last for a little while. Oh, they give some pleasure. You know, there's some fun in that. But it only lasts for a season. The things we do for Christ are going to last forever. I would say, you know, if you look at finance things and everything, this is a good investment. Invest your time in serving the Lord, for it's going to bring forth reward forever in heaven. Chapter 12, verse 9. Chapter 12, verse 9. This is the incident here where the Lord gave the Apostle Paul a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. Because of all the revelations he had had, the Lord just wanted to keep his servant humble. And he caused a thorn in the flesh to be given to him, and it caused him a lot of trouble. And he besought the Lord three times about it, that the Lord would take it away. And we want to go down to verse 9. And he said unto me, this is the Lord saying unto Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And now here's Paul's response. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities. You know, in necessities would mean not having all the things that one needs to get through life in a day's time. Moses gave up all the pleasures of Pharaoh's palace that he might suffer with the children of Israel. In persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I what? Strong. Isn't that? That doesn't even make sense to the people of the world. When I am weak, then am I strong. How is that? Well, in Christ Jesus, we understand that is what takes place. Another thing about Moses' faith back there in Hebrews chapter 11. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. That's kind of what we were just saying. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I guess he must have got that from his mom and dad, right? They didn't fear the king's commandment either. And they taught him, you know what? There is someone more important than Pharaoh. And that's the God of Israel. And he was taught that. And by faith, he forsook Egypt. He didn't fear the wrath of the king. He did not allow men or Pharaoh to come between him and his God. He wouldn't allow it. When he stood before Pharaoh and said, you need to let my people go that we can go serve the Lord. Pharaoh gave him several options. None of which Moses fell for. Amen. I'm glad for that. Pharaoh said the first time, all right, you can go worship your God, but you stay in the land. Moses said, no, we need to get it. We can't worship our God in the midst of Egypt. And you know what, Christian? You can't serve the Lord being a worldly Christian at the same time. You got to leave this world. Separate yourself unto Christ. He says, no, we've got to leave or we're not going to do anything. And as a result, the plague of blood, the plague of frogs, the plague of lice, the plague of flies came upon the children of Israel. Until Pharaoh said, okay, go ahead. But don't go very far away. Stay pretty close. Don't go very far away. And Moses said, no, we're going to go where God tells us to go. And you know, that's the devil's trick. If he can't get you to worship God within a worldly context, then he says, well, go ahead and worship God, but don't get too far away from the world. Stay pretty close. You know what? We need to separate ourselves fully from the world as we serve the Lord in this world. Don't be playing games. How close can I get to being worldly and doing worldly things and still consider myself serving the Lord at the same time? Then the next time, Pharaoh said, okay, you can go 3 days' journey, but leave your children behind. That's no good either, Moses determines. No, we're taking our children with us. You know, we live and serve the Lord so that we can train our children to walk up in our footsteps. And we want to train and teach the younger ones so that they will continue in the doctrine that we believe in. That's our goal. That's our desire in our whole life. Especially when you have children of your own. If God gives you children, Your desire ought to be, I'm taking them to heaven with me. I'm taking them to heaven with me. I remember my dad and I was having a discussion about soul winning and reaching people to Christ and everything, and talking about some ministries that seem to be number conscious only, and they're always talking about how many souls they got saved and everything, and a lot of this stuff is just easy believism stuff, and things aren't really happening as they say. And he came down and he said this to me, and I have never forgotten it. He says, you know what? When it comes down to it, if you successfully train your children up in the way they should go and get your children saved and take them to heaven with you, you're a success. You're a success. Don't be worried so much about numbers and how do I look in the eyes of everybody else? Am I seen as a great soul winner and all this kind of stuff? You just make sure you take to heaven those whom God has given you the responsibility for. Take them to heaven with you. I think if you really get busy about and serious about that, I believe the Lord will use you also to help others come to know Christ as their Savior too. But you just make sure you get your own all up there in heaven. When I get to heaven, oh, there's going to be a lot of things I want to see and do and I think are going to be really great when I get there. But I don't know just how we will feel about things and things like that. But I'm sure going to be happy to see all the kids in my family there with me. Children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, if God gives us that. I want them all to be there in heaven with me. I'm sure that's how you feel about it too. So guess what? By faith, do it. By faith, serve the Lord. And don't let men get in the way of you serving the Lord. Moses didn't allow Pharaoh to get in the way. No, we're taking our children with us. If we're going to go worship the Lord, we're taking them with us. And then the last thing, he said, all right, you can go, but you leave all your possessions and everything, and even your animals and cattle here. And you, wait a minute. They couldn't worship the Lord without their cattle because they needed to offer sacrifices unto their Lord. They couldn't leave the animals behind. See how devilish the devil is, all right? Can the devil be devilish? He surely can be. And he'll give you all kinds of reasons why you can't serve the Lord. Moses said, Pharaoh, no, we're not going to do it that way. You do it our way or we're not doing it at all. And it came down to this. Go with me to Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10. I can remember reading this passage and just kind of blowing by this. Excuse me just a moment. And not really paying too much attention to this until later in life. I'm in Exodus chapter 10. And I want to look at verse 28 and 29. I'll read verse 27, kind of lead into it. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, and that be Moses, get thee from me. Take heed to thyself. See my face no more. For in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more. And if you look at chapter 11, it's the instruction, and then in verse chapter 12, all about the Passover and how God would deliver the children of Israel out. The final plague that God would do would be to take the firstborn son of all the families of Egypt, including Pharaoh's household itself. Moses didn't say, oh, won't you just let me come back a few more times? Moses said, no, guess what? Your wish is my command. You will see my face no more. Wow, what a stand to take. I mean, Moses was a leader of slaves. Pharaoh could have instructed the armies to just kill them all. But he, by faith, would not allow Pharaoh to come between him and his God, and he kept the Passover. Going back there to Hebrews 11, verse 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover. What if Moses doubted when God told him about putting the blood on the doorposts and everything, and the death angel coming over and killing the first? What if Moses doubted? My Bible says, By faith, he kept the Passover. He didn't know what was going to actually happen. He only heard what God told him to do. And by faith, he did that. What if the Passover never took place? Where would Moses be? Where would the children of Israel be? They'd still be slaves in Egypt to this day. It was absolutely necessary. And by faith, he sprinkled the blood to save the firstborn son from death, along with all the rest of the people among the people of Israel. And you know what? We, by faith, preach something very similar. We preach that only the blood of Christ can save and cleanse from sin. It's the only remedy. When it all got all done, all the plagues were done, and all the asking and pleading with Pharaoh to let the people go, it all came down to the blood. The blood is what saved Israel out of Egypt. And when it all comes down to it, as far as our situation is concerned, it all rests upon the blood. The blood. And don't we like to sing about the precious blood of Jesus Christ? What did you guys sing tonight? The old rugged cross. Emblem of suffering and shame. There's where the blood was applied. The old rugged cross. And I heard a whole bunch of you going, amen, amen, amen. So maybe some of you even crying, some tears coming down. Why is it so precious? It's because it's God's plan of salvation. And by faith, Moses kept the Passover. Amen. And Jesus is our Passover. And by faith, we put our trust in him. And it's the shed blood on the cross that saved our soul. And we're the happiest people as a result of it. And in closing, look at that last verse, 29, by faith, they. Now more than just Moses, more than just his parents now. Now the whole children of Israel. And they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land when the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith, the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea. By the way, they passed through the Red Sea, not the Reed Sea. They didn't wade through ankle deep water. They went through I just have to believe. I don't have any Bible for this. I believe God probably took them through the deepest part of the Red Sea. All right. That's just Gary Freeman opinion. All right. You can take it for what it's worth. On dry land. And by the flesh, Pharaoh tried to go through. By faith, the children of Israel went through. By the flesh, well, if these slaves can go through, Pharaoh and his great army can go through too. By flesh, Pharaoh tried to go through. You know, just imitating a Christian does not make you a Christian. You must have faith in the shed blood. You got to have faith in the God who delivers you by the shed blood. Because going through the Red Sea was after the Passover. So they already knew in their minds what God did for them on the night of Passover. And here they are now. I know they complained a little bit, but they all put their feet in there and they went through on dry ground. By faith, they went through the Red Sea and God delivered them. Just imitating a Christian does not make you a Christian. If you're listening on the internet, listening to this message, and you've never by faith trusted Jesus Christ who shed his blood that you might be saved from your sin, you need to put your trust in him. Don't just think, well, I'll try and imitate what a Christian does. I'll try and act like a Christian. That's not going to be good enough. You're going to drown in the waters. It'll overflow. And you won't be delivered like the children of Israel were delivered on the other side. Because they, by faith, believed. Pharaoh drowned because he trusted his flesh. And if you trust your flesh to try to just imitate Christianity, it will not work. It will not work. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Pharaoh thought he could get through. No, it didn't work. And the Bible is very clear when it says of the drowning of that day that not a single Egyptian survived that event. They all died. Don't think, well, I'll get by. Somehow I'll get by. No, if you don't come by the way of the cross and the shed blood, you will not survive. You will be surely lost forever. You need to, by faith, believe what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ. In closing, let's take our hymn books. Jason, could you come? Let's take our hymn books and turn to 139. I think this would be a fitting song to sing in closing here tonight. When I see the blood. When I see the blood. 139, let's stand and sing this together. If you're listening on the internet, listening to this message, not saved, you're hearing the people here say, when I see the blood, it's talking about Passover, but it's also talking about the cross. You need to trust Jesus as your Savior. 139. Christ our Redeemer.